I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc.
And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas.
We bring together the mom experience and the doc expertise to give you the information and tools you need to help make the next right decision to get your child back.
Let's dive in. Hi there, it's Jody, the mom side of Mom and Doc Talk. Dr. Barr and I are taking a short summer break to soak up some family time, and we hope you are too. While we're away, we're bringing back some of your favorite episodes, especially powerful stories from parents who've been where you are and found their way forward with homeopathy. We hope these episodes give you a little extra hope and a reminder that healing is possible. The Mom and Doc Talk podcast is brought to you by Resilience Naturopathic, a team of naturopathic doctors specializing in helping children with PANS pandas heal through classical homeopathy. Our providers are supported by a team made up largely of PANS parents, so we truly understand what you are going through. We work with families around the world and are determined to change how PANS families experience healthcare. You can learn more about us at resiliencenaturopathic.com. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. We are so thrilled to be able to start our year with this return guest that we are just beyond happy to have back. Amelia has joined us today to give us an update on where she's at and some of the things that have changed in her life since she last joined us to answer questions from kids. And she's has matured so much that she's here on her own completely today. And I got to tell you guys, I'm beyond thrilled because Amelia actually said to me, I think it's time for another episode because of the things that have changed and the things that I've learned and all of that over the last, a couple of years since you were last on our podcast. So let me just tell you guys really quickly, we'll put a link in the show notes, the link to the previous episode that you were on if you want to see just the shifts and changes for Amelia over the last couple of years. But let me tell you a little bit about her really quickly, very briefly. So Amelia is now 14 years old, and she identifies herself mostly as a competitive mountain biker. And that's no joke. She is a legit, like, big-time competitive mountain biker. She was diagnosed with pandas at a young age, and she has learned to build her life around it. And that's what she's here to share with us today. So welcome back to the podcast, Amelia.
Thank you.
So for those who have not heard your podcast before and met you or anything like that, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm 14, as she said. I am homeschooled, so I have a pretty flexible schedule for mountain biking and doing like other things. We used to do a lot of traveling, and now I'm focusing mainly on mountain biking and school, and I love being outside, so that's normally where I am. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's pretty much what my life has been like since then.
So it's been about 2 years since you joined us last time, and a lot has changed since then. What made you want to come back and do another episode with us?
So I feel like a lot has changed with pandas. I feel like I've learned how to handle it more, and I feel like it's changed. So, like, I feel like it's kind of getting better, kind of more manageable. And I kind of just wanted to come back and talk about that and kind of give other kids hope for that and families that it does get better and that it's manageable. And it's manageable all the time, but the longer that you have it for and the older that you get, the more tools that you can develop to handle it better and people you can put in your life to, like, that understand it and won't judge you for it. So
before we dive into all the updates, I would love if you could just give us a bit of background so that anybody who didn't catch the first episode or just doesn't have the time to go back and listen to it can get a little bit up to date on you. So tell us a bit about what PANS has been like for you.
So at a younger age, I don't remember that much of it because I was young and my brain was a mess. So I don't remember a lot. But, when it started with the diagnosis and all that, we were just seeing a bunch of different doctors trying to figure out, like, what the next steps would be and what we could do. And it was just a lot of research and figuring out, seeing all sorts of different doctors. And then once we found homeopathy and were on that, it started getting better. And really, ever since then, it's just been a lot of, like, the treatment has been a lot of ups and downs, and it's been all leading to definitely getting better. And so it's kind of just been like changing in symptoms. And since the last time that I've been here, it's definitely been, like I said, getting better
Do you want to share anything about any of the symptoms that you remember?
So when I was younger, I had a lot of rage, and I would like go in like these rage outbursts, and I wouldn't remember it happened at that age. Like one example was one time, I think my dad was home and had a rage fit. And I basically like destroyed the living room, and I was like, it was really bad. And then like I snapped out of it, and I was like asking what happened because I had no idea. Like I had no memory or recollection of that. So that was like something that would happen a lot when I was younger, and that doesn't happen anymore. And then I've always struggled with anxiety, which was definitely different when I was younger because I would need my parents or my mom to, like, I had separation anxiety, so I would need to be around her basically all the time. So those are probably my two biggest symptoms, like, that were, like, the most major that impacted my life, so.
Yeah. Just, you know, I have the insight of knowing a lot of details about your whole case and where you are right now. I'm curious if you remember having any anxiety that existed before PANS or PANDAS showed up in your life.
I don't think so. Like I got diagnosed at a young age, but before then, like we saw a very clear shift. Mm-hmm. I used to be like, I mean, I was always kind of attached to my mom, whatever. But like once I had, when I got strep and all those symptoms started, it was very clear that it was like not at all what I used to be. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Amelia, how has PANS changed for you as you've gotten older?
I feel like as I've gotten older, the symptoms have changed. So I mainly have like anxiety and stuff like that is like my main issue. And for me, I've dealt with that with like finding better people to have in my life, like better friends who I can actually talk to about that and who will like support me with it. And really for me, mountain biking has been like a really important thing with that. So I feel like a lot of changing kind of how I live my life with it has changed a lot recently. So I've been trying to find more ways that can help that. And I know mountain biking is really great for that because that really, like, I don't have any anxiety when I'm riding. So that was really a main shift. But yeah, I think those two things are probably the most important. So
So one of the things that I know to be the case for you is that you are no longer having like neuropsychiatric flares when you get sick.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're really, what you're dealing with now is, feels in some ways similar to PANS or PANDAS, but isn't really an immune mediated situation. Would you mm-hmm. agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you mind sharing what happened recently?
Oh yes, with my illness and so this summer I got COVID and I was pretty sick for a few days. And I was like, the whole time I was freaking out because I was like, this is going to totally set me back because I hadn't been sick like that in a while. And last time I was sick, I had like a whole, like not a reset, but like really pushed me far back. So I got better and I like never really had a major setback. I was having some more anxiety, but it wasn't like more than normal. And I had a few like autoimmune issues, but that happens to a lot of people with COVID. So I was actually kind of excited that I had that effect of it because I was like, this is really big improvement. Like before I would be like flipping out again and like having anxiety all the time or like even having really bad attitude and all that. But I was mm-hmm. having a normal response, like a normal person. So that was really cool.
Yeah. It's a weird thing to be excited about, but I was equally excited. I feel like we were cheering together and being a little bit ridiculous on our follow-up after that when you were just having a typical reaction to COVID. And you bounced back from that too with homeopathy too. So just overall, really, really great shifts for you not that things are perfect. We obviously still have things that we're working on, but things are a lot different than they were when you and I first met.
But yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Amelia, how has homeopathy helped you through those changes with PANS as you've gotten older?
Homeopathy, I feel like there's a lot of remedies and a lot of like there's all the symptoms and there's just so many options out there for it. And if you have a good doctor who will help you through it and listen to like everything, even like small things I've learned add to that. And like, it's crazy that that can like shift it. So I feel like I've always just been like really hopeful in it to help with basically anything that could come up around PANDAS or anything. So it's never, I've had aggravations and I've had issues with like, if like a dose stops working or whatever, but it's always helped me. And I think the best part of it is it's like, it changes with like, you change your remedies as you go, and that it kind of, there's never an end really. It just can always help you. So.
And it's been the primary and in many cases only thing that you've really used to help get mm-hmm. you through recovery once you started down that path. I mean, obviously you've got some dietary strategies that you use, but one of our goals, again, if you don't mind me sharing, is for you to not be thinking about food all the time, to just eat what you want to eat when you want to eat it, and not have to think about, is this going to give me a panic attack? Is this going to make me angry or irritable? Would you share a little bit about that? Because I think a lot of kids, especially if they've been in the functional medicine realm where there's a lot of really strict dietary changes, can be really tough and can become a place of contention with their parents and with the condition and the treatment and everything. So I would love if you'd were willing to share a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I also struggle with that as a kid. Like all my friends are like, if we were at a family gathering, they'd all be having cookies and all these like desserts or even just like regular foods, gluten and stuff like that. And I'd always want to eat it, but it would really freak me out. So at like a young age, I couldn't eat any of that. Like I couldn't, I remember going trick-or-treating and couldn't eat any of the candy. So I would like give it to my dad or give it to like someone else. And it was always like, I would get really upset about it. And a few times my mom was like, fine, like you can have like a piece of candy or whatever. And I'd eat it. And then I'd immediately like flip out and like have a whole panic attack normally is what would happen. And I would regret it. And recently I've been getting better and actually being able to eat more of that stuff. And it's really funny because my friends and like my family are like, you can, because we went trick-or-treating this Halloween. I was like, oh, I have to get a lot of candy because this is the first year I could actually like eat the candy. And my friend was like, oh, great. Now you're going to be eating all the candy and everything. So yeah, it was definitely something I struggled with for a long time. But I think the main thing that I always tried to remember was like, it's basically like poison for like us. You can eat it. It's not going to like kill you, but you're going to regret it and it's going to mess you up for at least a few days for me. Mm-hmm. So I think, and that really helped with my self-control as I was getting older and at a young age to like learn that I have a choice. Like I could choose to eat that, but I decided I'm not going to because that could really mess it up. So
you got so good at it though, that I've actually had to nudge you a lot lately to say, I don't want you thinking about this stuff. I want you just eating and then tell me what happens so we can help it stop happening. And finally, thankfully, you got to the place that you're like, yeah, that sounds good. I want to not have to think about this stuff. I want to be able to go and eat ice cream with my friends or whatever. And so you've found that you're not having to be as strict as you said. You're able to eat a bunch of candy and not have a big flare. You're steady, pretty steady Betty, not like nothing, you know, because you're a human and there's still some things going on. But you're able to eat candy and not have it be this like horrible regret that you had. And we're not talking like organic, you know, we're talking like Reese's and Snickers and that kind of stuff, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And I love this for you. I love this for so many kids because having ultra strict diets is just not sustainable and it can cause so many additional problems. Because how many times did you get freaked out about food and then it sort of almost made you spin in some ways too?
Yeah. Huh? And that's something that I actually was trying for a while and found out that that was actually partly the issue. As I was getting better, when you were like, start trying to like eat more stuff, I would always like read all the ingredients and be like, that could freak me out. That could freak me out. And then I would just start having a panic attack before I even ate it. So I think that's also
it's really a good sign that maybe this isn't about the food. Maybe it's about the worry about the food. And then you got to the opportunity to challenge it and you're like, oh, okay, I'm all right. All right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So let's shift gears just a little bit. In the last few years, I know that you have had an evaluation for autism spectrum as well as ADHD. I would love to hear about that.
That was like a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And me and my friend actually got an evaluation at this around the same time, because I always like assumed that I had it because I have like all the symptoms for it. And my mom, she like works with kids like that. So we were like, maybe we should just get the evaluation, because I feel for me, I always like to see if I have those types of things because I like to support other kids with that. So just to help other people see that it's not going to ruin your life. It just kind of changes it. So it was, I don't exactly remember like the whole process because I was pretty young, but it wasn't too like strenuous. And I'm definitely glad that I got it just because it helped me like understand like, oh, when I do that, that's why. Like I was able to like kind of link some of the things that I do in my life or like how I see things differently to that. So I definitely was glad to get it.
So spoiler alert, you did get diagnosed with both, correct?
Yep.
Yes. Would you mind sharing just a little bit about some of the things that you connected with that gave you almost validation that didn't necessarily change anything about your life or what you did, but validated some of the things that you said, maybe that's why I do that. What are some of those things that you were doing or ways that you were experiencing life that were clues for you? And I ask this just because girls are missed so much more often for both of these diagnoses than boys are. And so I love to hear from people's lived experience, what their clues or their insights were.
Yeah. So I feel like for me, it was like a lot of things that I kind of thought were like normal, but like when I told my friends, they were like, that's not like, that is not normal. And I was like, oh, but one thing that some people can notice is I'm very hyperactive, which is one of the things. I mean, I can like hide it, but I always want to be doing something. So that was one thing. But then another thing is I have like conversations in my head a lot, which like some people think I'm crazy for. A few of my friends who also have been diagnosed with it, they're like, that's something that they deal with, and they're girls too. So I think that was one of the big things. I'll have like, my mom always asks me about it, because in movies, there's the person talking and it's the narrator, and it's basically like the voice in the person's head. And apparently a good amount of people, they don't have like a voice in their head. And I have like two, which is apparently like one of the things I was talking to the evaluator about. And that was like one of the signs. So I think those are like the two main things that I've noticed. And another thing that I thought was kind of strange is the way that I solve math problems is like really different than the average person. And that is apparently like another thing I was talking to her about, how that could be like kind of like how you solve it, like how your brain works basically to like get from there to here, a math problem or just a regular question. So I think
I'm curious how you solve math problems.
I don't even, it's different all the time. Like I'd never, like it's basically when there's formulas of like you solve it this way and that way, I always end up combining like different formulas because my brain thinks that's easier, but it's actually more complex. Mm-hmm. So like, I feel like my brain kind of gets bored is almost the thing. So like, yeah. I just combine a bunch of different things and that satisfies my brain more. So
even from a simple math perspective, I just recently learned this too, that can be a sign specifically for ADHD is when you are more likely to sort of change the numbers, even in simple math for like addition, instead of like taking away 7 from 27 to bump it over here and then add it to a, you know, borrowing numbers from each other to make it an easier, faster to recall thing and then combining them together. I was surprised to hear that, and also surprised that not everybody does that.
So. Yeah, me too. That's what my friends were like, that's not normal. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, so many things. Yeah, so I was a late diagnosis for ADHD. Much later than you. You got it in a time that would actually help facilitate having more ease in your higher education. So I'm really, really grateful that you got evaluated and were able to figure it out. But being somebody who was also a late diagnosis for this, it was just shocking all of the ways that I just assumed everybody else's brain works that I'm now learning is very much not how everybody else's brain works.
Yeah.
So how have these diagnoses impacted your life, if at all?
I don't really think that they have. Like I said, it's just another thing that I can help support other kids and families through, which I feel like why to get the diagnosis, because I was already sure that I like had that, the clarification. And like you said, like figuring out that's how like my brain works and how that's different from other people. But other than that, I feel like that's basically the only like big change that it was for me. So.
What about homeopathy? Has it helped you with the struggles that you have that come from the ASD, ADHD stuff?
Yeah, I think so. Like my hyperactivity and all things like that. Those are kind of just symptoms that we put in with my homeopathy when we're going through like my symptoms. And I mean, the doses aren't like my remedies aren't specifically for that. Like we do more of the anxiety type of stuff, but they definitely do help with that too. And it kind of just helps like support it so it doesn't get really bad and kind of just keeps it normal, like baseline. So,
yeah. So I'm just going to throw in my two cents here about this in general, and you can speak to your experience with it. So we always have to focus on the main thing that's problematic or causing problems for people in their life, which for you happens to be anxiety is the primary thing that interferes with your life when it gets kicked up. But we're always looking at the totality for the person as a whole. And when we're dealing with something like autism spectrum or ADHD spectrum, we're working with how somebody's wired, not necessarily an illness that is occurring in them. And so we always say, where are you at with your hyperactivity? Are we at your baseline, not interfering? So you're always going to be a person who is more active. Jodi and I are always going to be wiggly on this podcast. We're always going to be, you know, we move when we talk, we move when we do stuff. We're all just going to be wiggly people for our whole lives, right? But are we so wiggly we can't function? And that's what we're really looking at when we're talking about these things that are about neurodivergence, is about, are you in a place that is your baseline? You're good. It's not interfering or causing you distress. It's just you've got your coping strategies to navigate when you're operating in a world that's not really built for you, versus how are you doing when you're in your world that is built around you and for you. And when you're not doing so well in your own world, that's when we start to get a little concerned. Or when your coping strategies are not as accessible, that's when we get a little bit more concerned about those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's basically exactly what I'm thinking too.
Yeah, perfect. Glad we're on the same page. So as we've just talked about many times on the podcast, and as we sort of mentioned here, you know, homeopathy is not just for PANS, PANDAS, or for autism, or for ADHD. It can be used for so many different things. Would you mind sharing what else homeopathy's helped you with over the years?
Yeah, so the one thing we were talking about earlier was like the COVID, post-COVID stuff. That was something that we actually pretty strongly incorporated in like my remedies, and that helped significantly. It takes time, but it always like is worth it and helps. So that was one thing. I went from barely being able to like ride that much without feeling like I was like completely exhausted to racing a 16-mile race and getting second place. And that was because of recovery and homeopathy. So that's one thing that it helped me with. And then I recently had like a spinal nervous system like injury, not really like an injury, kind of like a shock to my nervous system. And
injury. Let's be honest. It was a big injury.
Yeah. And homeopathy also helped with that, because that was another focus that we focused on for a while. And that definitely like it's helped with those things. It can kind of help with just like more like of the acute, like if I have like a hip issue, my hip was hurting for like a few weeks. That was something that we talked about. So I kind of just, whenever I'm like just living or and I like have like an issue with anything, I'll just write it down and be like, that's something I can talk to Dr. Barr about for homeopathy. So
yeah. You're just so used to it at this point. Like I've known you half of your life, around half of your life at this point now.
Yeah.
So you've spent half of your life knowing that if you just tend to your body and you pay attention to what it's telling you and then you share it, that you can get a little nudge and get back on track and your body can heal and recover. And I love that. I love that that's how you're growing up.
Yeah.
Yes. So cool. You are wise beyond your years. Some of the things that I love that you've had the opportunity to learn all of this between your amazing mama and homeopathy, and also the struggles that you've been through too, because that's where we learn a lot of stuff. So at your age, it's really normal for kids to start pulling away from their parents. And this can get really tricky for a kid with PANS who frequently needs support from their parents. Can you talk to us a little bit about how that's playing out in your life?
Yeah, so I feel like I've always been more attached to my mom, and I had really bad separation anxiety with her for multiple years when I like first got diagnosed. And up until just the past like 2 years have probably been like when I haven't been needing her as much. And I feel like she'll always have to, like, I'm always going to call her and be like, oh my gosh, this happened today. And I've had really bad anxiety or whatever. Like, she'll always, I'm always going to like talk to her about it. But I feel like recently I've been able to kind of like lean more on my friends and just kind of like handle some things myself because it's not as bad anymore. So, but still on like days when I'm really freaked out, like I'll just hang out with her. We'll like watch a movie or something together. So I feel like she'll always kind of be like my main comfort. So, and like, I'm not ashamed of that. I don't want to like, if people start making fun of me for it, I just kind of stop talking to them because I'm like, that's just how my life's going to be. So I think one of the most important things is like, don't let other people judge you, or like, they're going to judge you, but like, don't listen to it. And if it's really going to affect you, like, ignore them, like get rid of them, because you have to do what's going to work for you. And if that's what it is, then your people are just going to have to accept that. So I think that was one of the main things that I was struggling with the past few years, but I finally kind of gotten through that. So.
So I have to ask, and I honestly don't know the answer to this question in spite of all the times that we've spent talking to each other. When you are starting to shift and you're maybe not responding to your remedy as much, or there's been a new thing that's come in that's just changed your state, I know that there can be some conflict that happens with your mom, especially because she's your main person. And that's what happens, right? Our main people mm-hmm. are the people we go to for everything. And they're the people that we take everything out on too. That's mm-hmm. just human nature. I'm curious if you are experiencing any of the type of conflict I've seen in a lot of other kids your age and teens and young adults, where in the early stages of a shift that your mom might say, hey, I think you need to take a dose, or hey, I think maybe we need to talk to Dr. Barr. You're not doing so well. I see a lot of kids start to push back and fight and be like, no, it's not me. It's you. You're the problem. There's nothing wrong with me. Stop making this about me. Do you ever have any of that come up?
Not normally about like homeopathy, because I feel like at this point,
what about your symptoms though?
Like that's something I was going to bring up. Yeah. That was like, we'll get into arguments sometimes about that. And like, if I had an aggravation with a dose, like a new remedy, she'll be like, we should take another one. But like, I like argue with her because I'm like, I don't want to take it again if it like freaked me out. And normally it's with my attitude or whatever. So like, we'll just argue constantly, like about like, you should take another dose. And then I'm blaming it on her basically. So I think it's not really fighting about homeopathy, but just like, I do blame a lot of things on her when it's not actually her fault. And I think that's part of something that the remedy helps me with, because that's normally when I had an aggravation or like, hadn't taken it in a few days because we were like testing it or whatever. So that's definitely something I've experienced.
It's a fairly normal thing to experience too, like not even PANS related, for kids to, when they are having difficulties, to blame especially their parents, but to blame people around them. And usually their parents are the first ones to blame. And this is true regardless of whether somebody has any sort of official diagnosis, and definitely outside of PANS or PANDAS. So it's really great to hear that it's helping you come back to yourself and be able to connect more with accountability, is what I'm hearing, and your own role in various different things. And I also want to just acknowledge up front to you and to anybody who's listening that you have an evolved sense of your own role in things and your own understanding of your emotions that is not typical for somebody your age, because of how involved you've been in your treatment since the very beginning. So you were 8 years old and talking to me and telling me about how you were feeling. So that's not common. So I don't want anybody who's listening to think that they're going to give homeopathy to their teen and suddenly they're going to have all of the insight and maturity of an adult. That's not realistic. There's still work that needs to be done that you have been doing all along. So good for you. Well done for that, because you're farther ahead than a lot of people, than many adults, honestly, in your ability to understand and recognize and manage your emotions when you're doing well.
Yeah.
I'm curious what you wish other teens knew about PANS.
I was thinking about this question a lot, and I feel like the one thing is like a lot of bullying when I was in school, and even in some of like the sports that I do, or like people through my friends, like I would get bullied because I was different, basically. And I feel like people should just know that pandas to me was, it's not a good thing, but like it's really like shaped me into the person I am today. So, I mean, as much as it was like horrible at the start and like something that most people would be like, why would you ever like be thankful for that? I feel like it's just something that like other kids can't really tell, but like what you're just talking about, like that really helps you be more mature and like understand more about yourself and kind of be able to handle situations better. So I almost find it like humorous when like these kids are like bullying me, because I'm like, it doesn't like make sense. Like, I'm not even like giving anything back to them. And I'm like, it's just, they're the smaller person in that situation. I'm not going to let that affect me. So yeah. I feel like that's one big thing that people should know, but.
Yeah, that they should. I mean, with bullying in general, it's so rough because it's just like, if you are different in any way, that it can end up becoming a problem, you know, and then that all the ways that you're different and all the ways you need additional support, they're not your fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
May, do you ever talk to your friends about pans?
Yeah, that is. I basically all of my friends now. And I don't have that many friends. And that's why my best friend, she's always asking me, she's like, what, you don't like care that like, just like you just tell people about it? And I was like, no, because I mean, some people, sometimes they like, they're not rude about it. The people that I like, have met recently, but like, if they like judge me about it or whatever, I just don't talk to them as much, which is what I was saying earlier. I've been working on trying not to let other people like affect me. Like if they can't accept that I'm going to be different and that I'm not the same as everyone else, then I'm just not going to spend time trying to like make them like me, basically. So
almost like a way that you weed people out. Right? Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like, hey, nice to meet you. I got this thing and it's going to show up. And what's your reaction to this? Do we just move on right now? Or do we see if there's something else here?
Yep. Yeah. And that's what my best friend, when I told her about it, I was having a really bad panic attack that night. And I told her, and like ever since then, like I'll just like text her or call her whenever I'm like having a really bad panic attack. And like she's probably turned into like one of my supports. Like that's one way that I was like starting to like move away from my mom a bit. Like I'll talk to my friends more. But yeah, I definitely think that it's important because I don't want to keep it a secret because it's not something I'm ashamed of.
Jody, can you imagine what our lives would have been like if we were able to be like Amelia and if people would respond to us in the way that Amelia's best friend responded to her when we were her age? Can you even imagine?
I can't. And I'm just like the literal entire time, I'm going to be an oogling mom for a second. So just hang in there, Amelia. Like the whole time I'm like amazed at like some of the life lessons that you have been willing to receive at such a young age. You and I'm literally at least seven times I've thought, oh my gosh, I didn't figure this out until after 40 years old. Like these are things that I didn't understand, and you're living your whole life like that. And it's amazing. And it's, you're just like, you're so far beyond your years as far as understanding and how you're interacting with people. And I love that you have a best friend like that, that is there for you and is able to support you. And I'm sure it helps your mom too, to have somebody else that comes alongside you and has a little bit different style of support. It's just awesome that you have figured out so many things as a young person, and you're like, I just feel like I just kept thinking, I'm like, oh my gosh, if I would have understood all of this stuff when I was your age, life would have been a lot less difficult. I don't know if that's the right words.
A lot less lonely.
Yeah. All the things. So it's awesome. I'm so happy. Like, I hate that you went through any amount of struggling to get to this really amazing understanding that you're living in. But this is what you were talking about, right? This is some of the stuff that you gained from the hard stuff, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm just thinking, what would it be like if we were to come back and talk to Amelia in 32 years when she's our age, Jody?
I feel like it's been 32 years since we talked. Like I'm the whole time I'm like, she, like last time I talked to her, she was a little kid and now she's a young woman, like a really intelligent, well-spoken young woman. But yes, like the things that you're explaining the way that that level of understanding that you have is going to help you move through life. Like, I'm excited for you about that.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, I hope we don't still have a podcast at that point. I hope everybody knows about homeopathy and pans and we don't need to have a podcast, because I don't think I have 32 years worth of things to talk about. But I definitely hope that we will be in touch, Amelia, in 32 years, and that you will let me know what's going on in life. And you can tell me all of the things about your life that were different than mine was growing up, and because of the ways that you've been able to access yourself and have supports that you can lean on and trust in yourself and all of the things that we've talked about. Anyway, I think we should stop gushing for just a little bit and let Amelia get on with her day, because she's got more important things to do than talk to people about how their lives were different than hers. So let's bring it back in.
So Amelia, going back to your friends, do you talk to them about homeopathy?
Yeah, not as much as Pandas, but they know they call it the sugar pellet, like magic sugar pellets. Cause, I was telling my friends about it, and we were camping for mountain biking actually. And I had to take it, and I was on like a daily dose. So I had to like wake up and take it. And, I was taking it, and they're like, it's sugar. And I was like, yeah, but it has like the remedies like sprayed onto it. And they were like, seems a little questionable, but, they saw, cause I was having a panic attack when I woke up. And then it went away, like, as soon as I took it. And they were like, that is, like, crazy. So they got to see, like, how it works and what it is. So we don't talk about it as much, but that's just because it doesn't come up as often. And it's kind of just, like, not, like, I'm not hiding it, but it's just, like, not as, like, I don't know what the word would be, like, out there as, like, Pandas. So
it's not a top of mind for you, because it's just the thing that you use because of Pandas and not, like, the central part of your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm curious, for the people who do want to know more about it, how would you explain homeopathy to somebody your age?
Well, so a way that I used to think about it when I was younger, conventional medicine is like an Aleve, basically. And if you have like a scrape or like a cut or something that was like hurting and you wanted to like take the pain away, so I like, you could use like a leave or like Band-Aid or whatever. And the one that I use as like this, like a visual for it, was like, if you have a really bad cut, conventional medicine is like putting a Band-Aid on, basically. Like, it kind of just like covers it, and you can take medicine and like kind of take the pain away for like 12 hours, and then you're gonna have to do something else. And homeopathy is more like stitches, and it kind of like goes to like the root of the problem and fixes it and completely heals it. And then you'll have to like maintain it and like clean it, obviously. So it's kind of like, that's kind of like the main thing that I compared it to. And I don't know if it makes sense, but that was always how I used to explain it.
Yeah. And the things that make sense to people are different, which is why I'm always curious how they sort of conceptualize it and how they understand it, because somebody needed to hear that. That will make more sense to somebody than the way I would explain homeopathy. So my last question for you is, have you found any strengths or gifts that have come into your life because of Pandas?
Yeah. I mean, basically what Jody was just saying, like, it completely, like, all the hard times and everything that I've had to go through, I mean, it was really bad, but I would never take it back, because it has made me like who I am today and given me all the understanding and everything that I have now. And it's kind of just taught me everything happens for a reason, basically, and to always just be thankful for everything that you get and everything that happens and everyone that you have in your life. So I think if I hadn't have had Pandas, like, I would just be like not thankful for anything. I wouldn't really understand everything that I do. And I think my life would be a lot more challenging in other ways, but it's really just like changed my perspective and like how I live my life. So I think that's the main thing. So
it's already, like, if I were to summarize the stuff, it's already helped you see the things that really matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's helped you recognize what's small and what's big, and that you just let it go. Like, the small stuff, you are not sweating it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's all that we have for questions for you, Amelia. Is there anything else that you feel like you'd like to share, or any final thoughts or words of hope to kids who are maybe struggling with PANS or Pandas or autism or ADHD and what it means for them?
I mean, I think just like the main things that I said today was just like, don't allow yourself to get worn down by other people if they start judging you. Keep reminding yourself that you're amazing as you are and everything happens for a reason. So, and one day you're going to look back on it like I do and think, I'm so glad that all this happened because it has shaped me into who I am today. So kind of just never give up and keep like reminding yourself that it gets better. So,
yeah. Well, Amelia, I think that while things are not perfect, things are definitely a lot better. And I am so excited for all the things that I see you doing in the future. And I really am sincerely hoping that in 32 years, you will be reaching out to me and saying, all right, I'm the age now that we were when we had that one chat. And here's what I've seen in my life and here's where I'm at. So, because again, I don't have 32 years worth of stuff to talk, so we can't do it on a podcast. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It is always a pleasure to talk with you. And I always am grateful for the insights that you share and your willingness to come and support others with PANS PANDAS who are strangers to you, but at the same time, your kindred, like your people. And you've done this through your entire journey with PANS PANDAS. And I know that this is something that is just part of who you are and how you connect with the world. And I am so grateful for people like you and for you in particular.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, everybody.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We would love to connect with you on social media and have you as part of our amazing community. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS.
If Facebook isn't your thing, you can also connect with us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for Resilience Naturopathic or clicking the links in our show notes. You can also visit our website, resiliencenaturopathic.com.
As always, we value your partnership in advocacy and education. Your support through following, sharing, rating, and reviewing our podcast is crucial in our mission to teach the world about PANS, PANDAS, and homeopathy. So if you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. Together, we are making a difference.
And finally, this podcast really is for you. Your questions and feedback help us make sure we are answering the right questions so you can feel confident making the next right step for your kids. Send us your questions or request guests by emailing us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, also linked in the show notes.